Good morning, all. Today's scripture is from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 25. An unforgiving servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, when my fellow believer sins against me, how many times must I forgive him? Must I forgive him seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, you must forgive him more than seven times. You must forgive him, even if he wrongs you 70 times seven. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who decided to collect the money his servants owed him. When the king began to collect his money, the servant who owed him a lot of money was brought to him. But the servant did not have enough money to pay his king, the master. So the master ordered that everything the servant owned should be sold, even the servant's wife and children. Then the money would be used to pay the king what the servant owed. But the servant fell on his knees and begged, 'Please, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything I owe.' The master felt sorry for him and told him he did not have to pay the money. Then he let the servant go free. Later, that same servant found another servant who owed him a few dollars. He grabbed him around the neck and said, 'Pay me the money you owe me.' The other servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Please, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything that I owe you.' But the first servant refused to be patient. He threw him into prison until he could pay everything he owed. But when the other servants saw what had happened, they felt very sorry for him. And they went back to the master and told him what had happened. Then the master called this servant and said, 'You evil servant, because you begged me to forget what you owed, I told you that you did not have to pay me. You should have showed mercy to that other servant, just as I have showed to you.' The master was very angry, and he put the servant in prison to be punished until he could pay everything he owed. This king did what my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Amen."
May your Spirit work in our hearts and our lives in this moment as we pray and ask that you will speak to us, and we do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So do you remember this guy? Mike Rowe?
Dirty
Jobs. Yeah. He had a favorite TV show called Dirty Jobs. Was one of my favorites, by the way. And it ran for many, many seasons. And what he did was, he looked at jobs that none of us would ever want to do. He waded through sewers and peeled roadkill, cleaned up monumental septic explosions, hunted plagues of vermin, served slop to pigs. I mean, some of the most disgusting jobs that are around today. And sometimes it was so bad that he actually vomited on camera. And his famous line was, "It is a tough job, but
someone's got to do it."
And I think what made the show such a success was the way Mike engaged these revolting jobs. He showed real curiosity about the jobs. He was respectful to the men and women who do them. What he showed us was that there's dignity in hard work, no matter what the job. That there's expertise in unexpected places. And that there is a deep satisfaction in tackling and finishing a tough job. So we're looking at another passage from Matthew 18 today. It's a parable about the unforgiving servant. And I guess you could say that forgiveness is a tough job. But someone's got to do it. And fortunately, Jesus rolls up his sleeves and shows us how. Now, before I get into the scripture passage, I want you to know that God is going to put a name in your head this morning, okay? And that person is someone you need to forgive. As you listen to his word, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of some unforgiveness in your life that you need to deal with. So in our reading, Peter walks up to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" He says, "Jesus, you know, tell me, how many times should I forgive someone who does something wrong to me? Is seven times enough?" And Jesus says to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." "Seven? No, Peter. Try 77 times." You see, forgiveness is a tough job, a difficult job, but someone's got to do it. It's not necessarily a dirty job, but it's a tough job. And according to Jesus, we've got to do it again and again and again and again, 77 times. As a matter of fact, the word Jesus used to describe this extravagant forgiveness can also be translated as 70 times 7, which means 490 times. You need to forgive the same person at least 490 times, which basically means infinity. You need to forgive that person always. You get the idea? Jesus is calling us to roll up our sleeves and to do some very demanding work, the work of forgiveness. Now listen, we are living in a justice-oriented world, a world where justice is served. And we kind of expect that insults are going to be followed by apologies, that crimes are going to be followed by punishments. And yet Jesus turns this whole system, it seems, upside down by saying, simply forgive. Just forgive. He's not saying, okay, what you need to do is wait for the person who sinned against you to repent and then you forgive, or wait until the person makes amends and then you forgive. No, he says, forgive the person. Not seven times, but 77 times, maybe 490 times. In other words, our forgiveness should be beyond calculation. You're not counting, you simply forgive. Whether it's the first time or the 50th time. Well, that kind of stinks, doesn't it? It means I have to endure hundreds of hurts and then offer hundreds of expressions of forgiveness. It sounds about as pleasant as what Mike Rowe went through with each episode of Dirty Jobs. But that's what it is. Forgiveness is a tough job. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I don't know about this unlimited forgiveness thing. This open-ended approach to forgiveness. Doesn't that turn Christians into doormats? Doesn't that fail to hold the sinners accountable? Isn't that an invitation to abusers to continue their abuse? And maybe you have a good point. You have a good point. It's hard to imagine that Jesus wants us to throw justice completely out the window, but still he says, forgive. Not just seven times, but dozens or even hundreds of times. You see, Jesus is saying that forgiveness is at the heart of life in the church. What forgiveness does is it creates a distinctively merciful community. Now, why is this? Well, Jesus tells us why. He tells us a story about forgiveness, a story about why we must offer forgiveness to one another. And it has nothing to do with the pursuit of justice and everything to do with the character of God. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. He says, let me teach you something about life in God's kingdom. Look at how this king deals with those who owe him. Verse 24. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all of his possessions and payment to be made. Now let me pause here and explain something to you. It says the man owes the king 10,000 talents. That is an insanely large amount of money. A talent is the largest monetary unit of the day. One talent is what a manual laborer would earn over the span of, listen to this, 15 years. 10,000 talents would be the wages of 10,000 manual laborers over the course of 15 years. So in today's terms, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars. And needless to say, this guy is more than knee-deep in debt. He's in over his head. He's drowning in red ink. He's sinking like a rock. As he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children, all his possessions and payment to be made. So with nothing left to lose, he fell on his knees before the king and says, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. He's begging the king, have pity on me. I will pay you back. Really? How? How? And then it says, and out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. The king feels sorry for him and he lets him go free. Doesn't even have to pay back the money. And Jesus says, that's the kind of God we have. We have a king who has mercy on us. A God who forgives us our debts. It's a dirty job, but we've got a God who's willing to do it. Now, that's a great story, right? Makes you feel good. But it's not the end of it. It says, but that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. The guy owed him 100 coins. And normally, you would get 1 coin for a day's work. So, I meant it was a significant sum of money. But it's nothing compared to what he owed the king. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. He starts choking this guy. He says, cough it up, buddy. Every single cent of it. And then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me. Now I will pay you. But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. He says, no way. No way. Not going to happen. Shows no mercy. And he has this guy arrested. So now the plot thickens, okay? So when this guy's fellow slaves see what has happened, they go, no way. No way. That's not how it works. And they run off to the king and give him a full report. And so the king summoned the man and said, you evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy? And the slave looks at the king and he's kind of speechless. And it says, the king was so angry that he ordered the official to be tortured until he could pay back everything he owed. And so here's the punchline. Jesus concludes with these words. He says, that is how my Father in heaven will treat you if you don't forgive each of my followers with all your heart. That's what my Father in heaven is going to do to those of you who do not forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. You see, there's an unbreakable bond between the forgiveness of God and the forgiveness we are to offer to one another. It makes it illogical and impossible for us to accept the mercy of the Lord and then refuse to extend mercy to other people. And Jesus teaches the very same thing in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our sins, God, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts. That's what we ask of God. As we have forgiven our debtors, that's what we offer our neighbors. And so in the divine economy of the kingdom of heaven, you can't have one without the other. But let me say one more thing. You know, often we think that forgiveness is important or forgiveness is critical because of how it affects the person being forgiven. The other person is really the one benefiting from our forgiveness. And that's probably true. It may be important for the person was being forgiven. But it's not the only reason why forgiveness is important. The reason you forgive is because God tells you to forgive. But it's also because it benefits you when you forgive. It only benefits the person you are forgiving if that person is repentant, if that person wants to reconcile, if that person is willing to provide restitution, if that person has asked for forgiveness. Otherwise, forgiveness is about you. Forgiveness is not saying, I forget. Forgiveness is not saying, forget it. Forgiveness is saying, I forget. Forgiveness is not saying it's all okay. Forgiveness is saying I'm okay and I'm willing to let God deal with whether you are okay. And I'm willing to let go of my need to be the tool of correction or rebuke in your life. Forgiveness is not saying, I no longer feel the pain. Forgiveness is saying, I no longer feel the need to hold on to your involvement in my pain. Listen to these words of Psalm 51. The great King David fell into sin. He got another guy's wife pregnant, and then he arranged for a soldier, her soldier husband, to be caught in the midst of a battle maneuver and killed. And he recognized his sin, and he's pleading with God for forgiveness. And he says, generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. I mean, what a relief. What a relief it is to say today that our Lord is a merciful God. He's willing to do the dirty work of scrubbing away our filthy guilt. He's prepared to soak our ugly, ugly sins in His laundry. He's willing to polish away the awful stains of our transgressions. That's a job that would even overwhelm a tough guy like Mike Rowe, even if he were walking around in a hazmat suit. But God is betting that we have been transformed by His forgiveness into the kind of people who can do the hard work of forgiving others. God knows that His mercy can have a surprising and wonderful effect. It can create a community of merciful people. So what are you going to do with that name? That name that God brought to your mind. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to offer forgiveness? Are you going to let go? God is willing to do the most disgusting of dirty jobs. He's willing to remove our sin through His gift of forgiveness. And He asks that we turn and do the same for others. Seven times. 77 times. Maybe even 490 times. So are you and I willing to tackle and finish the tough job of forgiveness? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we know that there are names in our heads and our hearts where we know we need to forgive. May your mercy become so real to us that we become merciful. May your Spirit move our hearts to the point that we're willing to take that step to let go, to simply forgive. Thank you that you always forgive us when we come to you in the name of Jesus. May we extend that same mercy to others. We pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.